press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I'm Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, what's up? It's that time of the month.
I love our twin talks. I think this is the fourth one that we've done on the main feed.
Fun as hell. Well, I'm used to just us talking on Patreon, so I had to recalibrate what I, you know, my little introduction here would be.
Totally, because with Patreon, you know, and if y'all don't subscribe.
Which is called Drama Plus, because it's Drama Plus even more.
Right. It's mostly close friends on Instagram plus bonus episodes. And I think now's a great time to announce what the bonus episodes are going to be coming up all the way up until the Tony nominations on May. I think 2nd is the Tony nominations date. And we're going to be doing a series of mini episodes, one a week, that will be breaking down the possible nominees for each of the main categories. We're doing the acting categories and best musical. Do you want to do the plays as well? Or
we could, we'll probably do like one episode on the plays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, here on Drama, we do love the art of straight play, but we're musical girls at heart. So
unless you're talking to me about A Doll's House starring Jessica Chastain, in which I ride so hard for.
Or if you're talking to me about Slave Play or The Inheritance or, you
Angels
know.
In America.
Okay, wait, let me scratch that. We are more than just musical theater girls, but for the fun, it's probably easier to kind of narrow down the musical race because a lot of the plays are limited runs and I haven't seen a lot of them, which is weird. This is going to be the first year that I won't have seen a lot of the shows because I don't have a big trip planned for that time of the year.
Right. Oh, my God. So, well, I mean, I guess we'll know for sure in a while, but especially before nominations, you're not going to see like Sweeney, Parade. What else is out there? Shucked, New York, New York. These are the big heavy hitters of the season that you're
Camelot.
The new ones, Camelot. I know Dylan, I might have to go without you.
I think you got
to
just go
to some of these shows.
See everything you want to see.
I know.
Pretend as though I'm there. Bring all our friends that you can see shows with. And
yes.
I'll just expect reports here on the podcast weekly. But
it's so hard to talk to you about shows without you having seen it because I don't want to ruin it. I have no problem telling you what I thought, but I don't want to get too into it. And there's no one I love breaking down a plot with more than my sissy.
It was the whole conceit of the podcast. I mean, we would sit on the A or the 3 on our way back uptown and break down these shows we just saw.
I know.
Sometimes sitting in close proximity to actors who were in the show. Shout out to Jay Johnson. And, you know.
Who's in Parade.
Who's in Parade. A lot of friends of the pod are in these revivals this season.
It's so fun. It's so fun. I mean, Colton is literally starring in New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
How about Parade canceling their Saturday night performance when the New York Times is there? I'm hearing the word on the street is it was a press performance. That's why they specifically canceled it.
Right. Who better than the press to be tweeting live from a performance that it's a press performance and it's canceled for technical reasons?
Well, I guess their projector didn't work. And apparently it's a pivotal part of the show's storytelling mechanism.
Okay.
And that it gives you like, I asked the person telling me this not to spoil it, because I want to go into it and experience it myself. But I guess it is very key in moving the story forward and getting to know the characters specifically. So it's understandable why they cancel. But, you know, it's funny for me because I live right down the block. If a show was canceled for me, I'm almost like, okay, free night. I'm relieved. What am I going to do with my night? But for people who come in from out of town, who live out in, you know, deep Brooklyn or wherever they're coming in from, New Jersey, that are coming to watch these shows, like, that is a really sad. I feel like this kind of stuff did not happen pre-COVID. Ever since COVID, we've got, like, cancellations for COVID and non-COVID related injuries. We've got, you know, shows canceling because their projector's not working. We've got Jay Harrison G gets ill and they're in preview, so they cancel a night of performances so the understudy can, you know, there's just so many odd things happening these days that maybe I didn't know happened before, but now we just know everything.
Well, yeah, I think that's a great point. Did you read that interview with Charlotte St. Martin? Okay, it is odd, but
what do you mean odd?
She was just dodging everything left and right about like, will this continue? Will this continue? Will this continue? Have you guys made efforts on this? And it was all basically a big goose egg of answers. And I feel comfortable saying that because it's, you know, it's the truth. And she was like asked if performance cancellations will be like a continued thing. And it was like, wow, like, I guess you're right, Connor. That is like a newer thing. I can't remember a single time ever going to New York and seeing something and being told the performance was canceled.
Yeah.
I've heard of, you know, previews being delayed by a few days due to technical issues. You know, when we saw Moulin Rouge in Boston, performances were delayed because of the construction issues, but we had gotten advance notice. So I don't know. It's really interesting. I mean, I was nervous the last couple of times I was in New York of like, oh, if this gets canceled, what do I see instead? I had to have sort of a backup list, but
I know.
Anyways,
what are you most sad to not be seeing? Like, what are you most looking forward to, I guess, is the positive twist in the question. Like,
you know, it's for me, I have been mostly getting very excited about these revivals because to me, like, I've seen a lot of the new musicals. The only ones I won't have seen are like Shucked, Bad Cinderella and New York, New York, but I really need to see Sweeney. You know, Annalie is my girl. I'm desperate to see it and hear, you know, what they've done to sort of reimagine it. And I'm really interested in Camelot after talking to Jordan and of course Parade, because everyone who saw it off Broadway loved it. But we'll talk about the, you know, the performances as it goes along and like who's going to be possible nominees and whatnot. But also Fosse, the dancing show. I really want to see that.
I keep forgetting about it. Mm-hmm. It's right down the block. I need to go. I need to see that. Definitely. 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 I apologize, Danson. I forgot you on my list of new shows.
I'm sad that I'll be missing a few shows that are going to be closed by the time I'm back. Like,
oh.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to see Prima Facie. I don't know if I'll be able to see Pictures from Home, Summer 1976. There's like a bunch of those, the Thanksgiving play, a bunch of those shows, maybe even Leopoldstadt. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to see any of those.
Yeah. Oh, I need to see Leopoldstadt.
A lot of plays, obviously, but yeah, that's like the only thing. You know, people ask me all the time, do you miss New York? Do you miss New York? And I think the biggest thing I just miss is getting to see theater, comedy shows, drag shows, you know, those like one-off night performances and whatnot.
Cabarets.
That is like the thing that I miss the most. Yeah, cabarets. I mean, I was at the club every other night when I lived in New York and worked at 54. So,
and for better or worse, I was dragged along with you.
Some nights you'd be like, you're staying for both tonight, you know?
I know. Crazy.
Another life.
When I go see stuff all the time, I'm like, Dylan would have loved this. Dylan, I wish Dylan was here, blah, 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 blah. But it has allowed me to open up my plus one possibilities beyond just taking you to something. So that's been kind of fun. But anyway, okay, so Dylan, so much has happened in the last month since we did this. I mean, not only on the stage, but off the stage, we had the Oscars. We have Scandoval. We have a new Marvel movie, a new Scream movie. We have Funny Girl is closing.
That's probably the big thing, because we kind of spoke about this last time. Actually, I think we talked about it on a Drama Plus episode.
Okay.
But we talked about how Ramin had announced that he was going to be doing this Phantom. Was it in Italy? And so
Phantom in Italy.
Yeah. And so obviously that is still happening. So he's going to probably be taking a little bit of a vacation this summer. But it said that all the leads extended through the end of the run. So it's officially closing in September. So Leah and Tova will have done about a year in the show.
Wow.
It was just incredible. It gave the show a whole extra year of life that I don't think it necessarily would have had.
I know. I agree. It's one of those rare iconic replacement casts. Like I would even like Bernadette and Hello Dolly.
Yeah, totally.
You know, that's the most recent one I can think of where they did this changeover. And I couldn't help but think today, on this very day, I was talking to somebody about Paradise Square and Jaquina's win. Had Leah been the original Fanny in Funny Girl last season, she would have undoubtedly been nominated.
Totally.
And I wonder what would have happened, because Jaquina in Paradise Square, I mean, she was amazing, but I wonder if the story about Leah in Funny Girl and all that would have carried her through to a win more than a win for Jacquina's role in an original musical, which is also amazing, you know, for an original musical, you know, for someone who's not playing Cher or Michael Jackson or, you know, Donna Summer, or someone to get nominated or win in a role that's based on something else. Like for Jacquina to create a role was really cool. Of course, love that. But I don't know. What do you think? Would it have been Leah versus Jacquina in terms of?
I don't think so. The whole narrative about the saving of the show and this redemption arc and, you know, Leah has had to answer to her crimes, as we'll call them. But I don't think so. I think that that makes the story that much sweeter, is that she came in and there was no brass at the end of it for her. This was purely a career move, a redemption move. You know, Leah is sublime. It is incredible. But Joaquina's performance was absolutely incredible, too. So,
I mean, the other nominees from last season were Sharon D. Clarke for Carolina Change, Carmen Cusack for Flying Over Sunset, Sutton Foster in The Music Man, and Mayor Winningham from Girl from the North Country. And I would have, there's at least two that I would have knocked out of there for, yeah, Leah, for Leah, for sure.
I agree. That's really interesting. I love the if-then scenarios.
Especially Mayor Winningham, who I just don't feel like she was the lead of that show. Not to say her performance wasn't as good, but I felt like that was such an ensemble piece. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I loved her. I don't want to say one of the few people who really enjoyed Girl from the North Country, but it's a show that I actually think about a lot. And I listen to the album all the time, which is so weird of me.
There are certainly a few from the album that I listen to, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think Carmen Cusack in Flying Over Sunset, absolutely iconic performance and iconic nomination. She filled that stage. That huge stage.
I think that she was probably, her and Mare are the two that would probably be removed. However, it was a weird season. Last year already.
I'm not with you. I think Carmen still would have gotten in. I think Sutton in The Music Man would not have.
I don't know, because Carmen, Mare, and Sharon, their shows were all closed at that point. I think Girl from the North Country was on its hiatus.
That's a good point. That's actually a really good point.
And Sutton was running. Sutton and Joaquina and who was the other nominee? I think that's all five.
That's it.
They were the only two in running shows. So I think that maybe it just automatically should have gone to Joaquina. But at the same time, you know, there were shutouts like Beanie. So
I don't think that was a shutout, in my opinion. But I am with you 100% on thinking that Joaquina would have probably still won.
Yeah. It's so funny we're talking about this. It hasn't even been a year since.
What's even sicker is I had to fully go look up who else was nominated.
You did just now?
Yeah, that's how I have. Dylan, you really think I would have pulled Mayor Winningham out of a hat?
You would not have.
I've already forgotten who was nominated for Oscars on Sunday. I mean,
no, you have not. But I will tell you, when I was watching the Oscars this past Sunday, I was thinking, who won Best Actor last year? And then I was like, oh, how could I forget? It was Will Smith. Like, I literally just forgot. You know, I remembered everybody else because Jessica Chastain obviously was the predecessor to this new win by Michelle Yeoh. But let's talk about the Oscars. We covered Funny Girl. I definitely think people should grab a ticket and try and see it if you can.
Oh yeah, you can't miss it.
Yeah, it's miraculous. But so the Oscars happened. This is only a few days post-mortem on the whole situation. There was no slap this year. What would you say the iconic moment of the Oscars was?
Well, I just want to say, for those of you who haven't heard our episode of Oscar Wilde yet, it might be a fun re-listen if you're like a drama super fan or an Oscar Wilde super fan to go and listen. We did it in January, right, Dylan?
The one that we did on our feed? Yeah, on January.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where we talked all about this award season, who we thought we were going to win. And I think most of us felt Michelle Yeoh probably would win.
We did. Nick and Sophia, who are our friends who host that, they even said Everything Everywhere All at Once will win. So
they did. So, okay. Iconic moment from this year's ceremony. Let me think about this for 5 seconds because I can't give it much more thought. Other than the Everything Everywhere All at Once sweep, it was pretty, the Jamie Lee Curtis win is iconic.
It is iconic. I think the whole conversation around it, I will say Angela Bassett's face made me sad. I don't think she was necessarily annoyed at Jamie Lee, who is all of us, but I think that she did the thing. Angela Bassett did the thing, and this has happened now twice for her that she hasn't gotten the ultimate trophy. But she is always doing projects. She's always in something. The whisper of her winning for a Marvel movie, you know, when the movie came out in November, was still sort of like, could this really be a thing? And I think it's amazing that it carried her that far. I want her to win Best Actress. I want her to win Best Actress for something incredible like Michelle Yeoh just did.
I love that you said that. You said it almost immediately too, and it clicked for me. I was like, yes, Angela Bassett should have an Oscar, and she's always working, like you said. So it's even like so random to me that it was in the Marvel movie that she got this next nomination, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I love her, though. I mean, she looked stunning.
My favorite of the night.
Like, beyond.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul Mescal looked absolutely adorable. I love him so much. Totally. I was secretly hoping he would win, but I knew it was going to happen.
I know. I think he was just there having fun.
I think so, too.
And who knows? He might win an Olivier in a couple of weeks. So.
I wonder. I don't know how those work as much, so I can't really predict yeah. Olivier's, but
we're sort of newer to the game. We're sort of newer to that game.
Yeah, he was fantastic in Streetcar.
Oh, amazing.
I love him so much. I fear he's about to like skyrocket into oversaturation territory. And not that I don't want him in everything, but I don't want the fun to go away as quickly as it came. You know, that yeah. happens with stars. Like even like Florence Pugh, I'm obsessed with. Like now I see her and I'm like, oh my gosh, like she's been in a million movies this year and I've barely watched any of them. Like she was in that yeah. The Wonder on Netflix. She's in this new Zach Braff one that's coming out that I didn't even know until the red carpet happened. And yeah. I love when my favorite actors are in lots of great projects. I just fear sometimes when like a star is born and they shoot into like superstar territory that things get like weird. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm explaining that right.
I know what you mean. He is booked in a lot of things, but you know, I think that he'll be filming Gladiator for a long time and he's got Merrily in the pot and there's that new musical that's coming out. So I think, you know, actors come and go. They disappear for a few years. They come back when all their projects somehow come out in the same year. It's so interesting the way that it all works. But yeah, he looked amazing. Austin Butler looked amazing.
Ugh.
I think that the Cates, Blanchett and Hudson were two of my favorite looks of the night. Let me ask you this before we get into the whole awards sort of thing. Because I do think that Jamie Lee's win was like one of those iconic moments of the night, the speech, everything. What did you think of the red carpet host? There's sort of like this big hullabaloo online about actors interviewing actors. And
I don't. Okay. I think Vanessa Hudgens delivered. She's amazing. Because at first I had the E! Coverage on and Laverne Cox was terrible.
I heard. Yeah, you told me that.
And I've seen Laverne do red carpet coverage before and she's done an amazing job. She's normally super natural, like has a rapport with a lot of these people. They all know her.
And she's full time at E now, right?
I think so. Also her dress was a flop. But I love Laverne, but it was so bad, Dylan. She was stumbling over all of her words. Like obviously it's hard. You've got your cue cards, you've got someone in your ear telling you things. You've got to remember to send them back to Adrian Bailon on this camera or this Kyle Richards' friend, Justin, from early seasons of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills on the other carpet. Like, it's tough, but I think journalists should be running red carpets. The correspondents should be the people who have great personalities, should be doing it. Like, what do you think? Other than Vanessa Hudgens.
Yes.
Because Ashley Graham, is that her name? Who's the other one on E? Yeah. On ABC? Mm-hmm.
Well, there's this clip of her and Hugh Grant that's going around.
I watched it live. And it was so uncomfortable. And everyone in the room, I was at this like viewing party at a bar in Bushwick and it was uncomfortable. She handled it well, but she didn't have the journalistic experience that someone who trained and studied to do it would. Someone who's a little lighter on their feet can make more of a moment out of it than just letting him trample all over you. I don't know. I just felt... I felt kind of bad for her because she probably shouldn't have been there in that situation.
Yeah. Well, I, of course,
what do you think?
Our favorite comedian, Michelle Collins, is, you know, online tweeting through these ceremonies. And I think it should be someone like her, a comedian yeah. who also has, you know, interview experience, being a serious XM host for years, having her own show, being on The View, doing the Bachelor after show. It's like, she is like the perfect person to do something like that because she knows how to, she has the gift of gab. She keeps her finger on the pulse of everything and she knows how to interact. I don't need to see Ashley Graham interviewing people.
Even when Vanessa Hudgens was interviewing Michelle Yeoh and the Daniels ran over and Vanessa obviously had no idea who they were. And she was kind of like, oh, it's the gang's all here. Like she tried her best, but like, had she been a journalist who was covering this beat all year long, she would have known, okay, this is Michelle, this is the Daniels. What is like a great question I can ask them about finally getting to Oscars night, like coming together as a team, like
yeah.
something else. And I fear these actors just aren't as equipped for it, but I will always love Vanessa Hudgens. And she was really slaying these lines that when she would be kind of calling back to the movies and cutting away to commercials. So I loved her.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's done this for a few years now. So I actually think it's fine. She has experience. My whole thing, too, is that everyone doesn't need to be everything. So it's the idea of like, yes, you're an actor, but you don't also need to be a skilled red carpet host. You can be good at one thing or two things. And we shouldn't have to expect everybody. You know, Kiki Palmer is an example of someone who's good at a lot of things. So put her up there to do it. You know, it's also this whole thing of like, should everybody be a podcast host? That you and I have this conversation all the time. You know, I hear folks left and right, especially when I'm socially out and about. And I never offer the fact that I host a podcast, I will say. But I think that our friends will sometimes say, oh, they host a podcast, you should listen. Or this happened to me a lot when I was in Chicago with Hunter and our friends. Is like our friend Grant or Scotty would say, oh, you should listen to his podcast. And then I kind of get a little gun shy about it. Whenever someone says that to me, I'm always like, okay, like what's the podcast?
I know. I've never put it on a dating profile. It's in my bio on my social platform. So if they find it, they find it. But I am totally with you. I don't offer it up. I don't like walk around the office like yelling about it. It's something I'm proud of, but for some reason, not something that I lead with.
It's not who we are at the end of the day. I'm one of those people who thinks your job isn't define you.
I love that you're like, this is my job. Well, for about a year and a half during COVID, it was, but
I know. I don't know. But so what the track that I was sort of going with is like, people will often say then after I say I have a podcast, yeah, it's this, they'll say, oh, I should have a podcast. Or I've always thought about it. And I always think, yes, podcasting is really hard. I feel like I'm that clip of Rachel Sennett in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies right now, but talking about how podcasting is very hard. It is like running an entire company business, but having a very small team. And you have to just be so, you know, not everyone does what we do, which you and I have free form chat with people. We have good banter, as they say on Love Island. Or on Ted Lasso, there's the dating app banter. But
oh my God, I didn't even put together that it's like a British thing to say banter. Oh my God.
Banter or good chat.
I just learned good chat the other day.
That's a Love Island one too. But, you know, it's something that we're lucky to have. We've honed it over the years. And that's what I think has let us be good hosts from the beginning.
Do you think we're good?
Yes. I think that's why we've stuck around so long and people continue to want to chat with us.
I've never been worried about it.
No, but then you have people who think, oh, I should have a podcast, and they go out there and do it, and it's either stale or it's not what they think it's going to be. And what I'm just trying to say is hone your skills that you're good at. And if you really want to work hard at something that's definitely out of your wheelhouse, go for it, work hard at it. But it doesn't need to be for everybody. You don't need to be everything everywhere all at once.
Period. I'm obsessed with that. That's so true.
Because it's like, oh, another actor announces they've got a podcast where they interview other actors. And it's like, there's only a few people who I think are really good at that. One of them is, I've always felt that Anna Faris is very good at that. But
she is good. She's lost her verve a little bit, having lost her co-host, who kept her on track. But I agree. Anna's good at it. And apparently Dax Shepard is good, but he also has a co-host.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've heard one episode of Armchair Expert. It was with Ellen Pompeo.
Oh yeah. You told me to listen to it. That's fun.
It was good. It's probably outdated at this point.
Speaking but of, I know, Ellen well, Pompeo left Grey's. Wait, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, just really quick, every single Bravo celebrity, aka reality stars from Bravo, has a podcast. I am currently 10 minutes into Kristen Doty's podcast.
Ooh, okay. Now I want to hear about that.
Where she is breaking down the Scandoval, aka the Tom Sandoval, Ariana Maddox, Rachel Levis scandal that just broke out. But I know
we should probably save this for Drama, because we have.
Okay, we'll save it for Drama, so we'll tease that. But we were about to say something else a second ago, and we were talking about celebrities hosting pods. And
I was just going to mention that Ellen Pompeo left Grey's with a whisper, with a whimper, not a bang.
With a whimper, not a bang. I just watched it last night. And you teased ahead of time that the episode, she was like the C story of the episode. And she was 100%. Obviously, what they're doing is setting up the rest of the characters. They want the viewers who tuned in to be invested. And I'll say, I'm a little curious to see where these characters go. But I know it'll be fine without Meredith, because she's not been an integral part of the story for a long time.
She's been the C storyline for years. And I mean, you and I joked that she was in a COVID coma for like half a season. She clocks only a certain number of days on set. You know, maybe it is time to end.
I wonder what the ratings look like. I don't know how they've been doing. I mean, I know they filmed the whole season already and like, or most of it, but yeah, I know. I was watching it, and Dylan, I will admit, I was like, oh, I kind of want to keep going. I kind of
Are you considering not?
I am. I'm just a little fatigued by it. Like, it's the even the patient storylines don't do it for me like they used to.
Demi vibes.
Oh, wow.
You but don't
like,
do it for
like
me.
Like, those early seasons of Grey's, like, you felt the doctor, patient, where their lives were having, they were taking themes from these illnesses and surgeries and things that the patients were bringing into their lives, and they would have an epiphany, and they'd realize, right. Oh, my God, I need to go tell Karav I love him, or tell George that I'm sorry I stole his surgery, whatever it was that they were doing in the early days. And Ellen left, and okay, I guess this is kind of a spoiler for how she left, but they left the door open, but there's a cliffhanger with her love interest.
And she still does the opening monologues in the episode. Have you watched like the episodes beyond?
No.
Yeah, her
how
voice
are
is
they?
Still, they feel like it's like the voice of God now, because like, she's not even there, you know, but she's still giving this wisdom.
Okay, you know what I cannot with, and this feels like one of the more Grey's Anatomy, they used to do this really well where they showed differing viewpoints in a relationship where like Yang did not want kids, but Owen really did, or, you know, whatever it may have been, like Derek and Meredith arguing about the ethics of their clinical trial or whatever it was. Like, you would see these couples together. This one with Maggie, who is Meredith's half sister that was introduced 11 seasons into the show, and her husband Winston, who came in like 2 or 3 years ago, like right when the COVID yeah. season started. He's so hot. I love him.
Yeah, underdeveloped, but yeah.
Underdeveloped for sure. They literally brought him in. They were like, okay, well, this is her love interest now. It's COVID now. I cannot with their storyline where she disrespects him for not. So they're married and they're in love. And I'm kind of barely watching while I'm doing laundry, by the way. So if I'm missing details, let me know. Okay. But it's like so annoying to me that the writers are like pushing this conflict that's, he doesn't care about his career like I do, so I don't think I can respect him as a man to love me if he doesn't love his work more than he loves me, like I like my work more than I love him. Is that kind of where they are?
I don't even know if we should get into it. There's so much to it.
But
it's
that's,
like,
to break it down, that's what
it's I guess
at.
Bare bones, but also there's his side of things about why they're kind of fractured and why he okay. wants to pull away. And it's, I agree with you though. It's silly. It's gotten soap opera-y with a lot of the characters.
Soap opera.
Because when these people have been on the show for so long, it's like, how many different storylines can we give them? But you'll hear about this on a later episode of Drama that was my dose of drama, but I'm watching Ted Lasso finally, and I'm absolutely obsessed.
Okay, so thoughts on season 2 of Ted Lasso?
I love it. I love the show so much. It's definitely got like a heavier, or not heavier tone, but they're really leaning into this whole like mental health matters type situation where they're kind of talk about a lot about self-worth. And a lot about fathers and their children is like an overlaying storyline of like the way that the different players and their parents, and even Ted talks about his relationship to his dad and Rebecca yeah. and her dad and everything. So I don't know. It's definitely heavier than the first. I almost feel like Ted is not like the central character at all times anymore. It's really become more of an ensemble. And there's some episodes where he doesn't really even have a storyline other than he's there
mm-hmm.
in the background. But I love it. I love the show so much. I think it's like brilliantly written.
Oh my God, it's so good. I've watched season 1 like 3 or 4 times.
What is it about it that you've watched it over and over again? Because you don't really...
Well, I'll like throw it on. You know what I mean? Like I'll throw it on in the background. Mm-hmm. I didn't love season 2. And I was watching it week to week the first like 3 weeks of it. And then I wasn't really engaged. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to binge this like I did season 1. I just feel like... I mean, it certainly leaned into the weird... in a good way, in a good and bad ways in season 2. But I just felt like, to your point, like for being the season 1 was like candy. It was just this comfort food. It was just lovely. Like it was so funny and so sweet and had important topics, but like the stakes that were kind of high were like never that high. Like even like the whole conceit of the show is that he's supposed to come in and kind of sabotage this team unbeknownst to him. And he doesn't, but like, so I felt that season 2, they took the edge away from Rebecca, which was an issue for me. And I thought that it became way too serious with the mental health storylines, that it didn't feel like a comedy to me anymore. And I was like, this is still great. I still love it, but it's not like as rewatchable as season 1. I don't know how you
okay.
feel.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not done yet, so I don't want to say too
Yes.
much, but
And I will say season two ends on quite a controversial moment. So fans have been
really?
waiting now for, I think it ended in like fall 2022. So we've been waiting for a while to see where this picks up, which is the alleged final season.
Oh, so there's only been like 6 months since it ended?
Oh my God, I mean 2021. Sorry.
Oh my God, it's been that long.
Yes, it was right when I moved back to New York that I watched season two. Vivid in my brain, I guess.
Yeah, the final season, people are really upset online that Ted Lasso is ending and Succession is going to be ending. And there was one or two other shows that announced their ending. And I have to just say, things can't go on forever. Like we were just talking about with Grey's Anatomy, and a lot of these shows, because of the format and these streamers, they don't have to go on forever because it's not like cable where they want to keep that slot filled forever. So
Yeah, good point.
everyone in Ted Lasso is going to be stars now and do their own things. And,
Yeah.
granted, some of them already were, but anyways.
Isn't Keely amazing?
Oh, she's like my favorite part about the show.
Chris Hannah Waddingham is
I mean,
amazing.
she needs her own show, in my opinion.
It's coming, right? Like
Oh yeah.
she played the witch in Into the Woods on the West End.
Yeah, she's had quite a theater career. I mean, it's like so laughable to me when someone can sing and they make them sing on the show. Like she sang Christmas Baby Please Come Home in the Christmas episode. It was like crazy good, like insane. Like, come on.
Well, in season one, she's saying "Let It Go,"
Right.
which is a funny choice to me. I don't know why they had her do "Let It Go." Like maybe that was like a, maybe she did it somewhere, and they were like, "Oh my God, we need Hannah to do it on the show."
It is a funny choice.
Well, they set it up in the episode that like she would watch Frozen with her like bestie's kid, right?
Sassy's kid,
Sassy's
Mora.
kid, and she's stinky. They call her
Stinky, yeah,
Stinky.
which is so silly.
We've spent
Okay.
far too much time on Ted Lasso. Oh my
And
God.
Grace, we need to close the loop on the Oscars because we're talking about hosts and whatnot. So Jamie Lee obviously won,
She is
and
all of us.
she is all of us, and Ki from Everything Everywhere All at Once won. That's my favorite category. I said this on our episode with Nick and Sophia. To me, it's not as serious as the actress ones for some reason, because men are always going to get hired. But in this case, it felt serious. This was his big comeback moment. I saw every single performance from that category. I think it's the only category I saw every performance in.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, me. Okay, I'm with you. I missed a few this year too,
Yeah, because I don't think
surprisingly.
you saw Causeway.
Did not see Causeway and I skipped The Whale.
Yeah, so I didn't see either of those. And I didn't see Living, and I didn't see
To Leslie.
to Leslie. So this was the only category I saw all of them in. And anybody could have won, truly. But this had to be Key's year. I mean, he
It
was
had to
so
be.
freaking good. Of course, I love Barry and I love Brendan Gleeson.
When
And
they show that clip of Barry doing the, I guess there goes that dream, or whatever the line
yeah,
is, that is so beautiful.
it is. Thoughts on the clips not being the scene straight through, but rather montage-y with the lines narrated?
Sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. What do you
Agree.
think? Yeah,
Agree.
it was mixed for me. 'Cause we used to live for those clips when we were little middle school, early high school, closeted awards gays. They would show the same one at every, like I
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Monique and Precious, they showed the same scene in every award show.
Yes.
And maybe it was even just one time, but we were just fixated on her. But who's gonna love me? Right? That's the scene. Oh, that was great. It's funny because I feel like a lot of people who win Oscars don't really go on to keep getting nominated for Oscars. Like Monique.
Well, that's the thing about there's this whole thing with black women. So it was when Octavia Spencer won for The Help. She was the first actress to be nominated again for an Oscar
That's right.
after winning. So she was then nominated for Shape of Water, and that was like the first time. But agree. I mean, a lot of
Wait,
actors.
Shape of Water, and then the next year for Hidden Figures, right?
Oh yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was in the reverse of that.
Yeah,
The
okay, I
reverse
forget.
happened.
Wait, did
To
we get
quote
that
Meghan
right or
Markle,
wrong?
the reverse happened.
Forever
It's
iconic.
interesting. You're right. I mean, if you win, I think a lot of people too, like Anne Hathaway hasn't been nominated since her win. Jennifer Hudson hasn't been nominated since her win. She almost was for the Aretha movie for Respect. But it's either I think sometimes actors,
Alicia
at
Vikander,
least, I mean, where is she?
but
Some actors will that they find that to be the pinnacle of their career, and then they can choose whatever project they want, or they go on to do TV instead, or they do theater. Or some actors, I think some just don't pick the right projects afterwards.
I know. That's probably part of it too, for sure. Or they just want to go do whatever they want. Wait, speaking of an Oscar winner who's picking an interesting project, I can't wait for that Jennifer Lawrence movie with Andrew Barth Feldman.
Yes.
That's going to be good.
It's going to be so good.
I love her. I know I feel like J-Law, Anne Hathaway are two examples of A-list actors who were unfortunately becoming popular in the era of like relatable girl culture, where it was like hated on to be like a relatable quirky girl. And not that either of them are quirky, but they were like just cool girls on talk shows and red carpets and stuff. And so like the internet decided to hate them in the advent of like Twitter and things like that. So I feel like they're having their comeuppance, both of them.
Totally. The thing I was going to say about Anne Hathaway is that iconic photo of her dancing. Was it after the Emmys?
No, it was a festival, right? Where they showed her new movie.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. She is legendary. Like,
she's so beautiful and talented.
I love her so much. Anne Hathaway. Ugh. The rumor said she was Bobby and Company before she got pregnant. And
I still say she could still do it.
Totally.
Revive the revival of Company with Anne Hathaway as Bobby. You can do it. If Katrina Lane could do it at 40,
well,
whatever.
They're doing the tour.
I'm in. Anne is going to win a Helen Hayes Award for her regional...
In D.C. It'll be awarded in D.C. where it opens. Okay, so yeah, and then obviously Michelle Yeoh won, and she was presented the award by Halle Berry. It was such a groundbreaking moment. You know, 21 years later, the second actress of color to win Best Actress. It's insane. It should have gone to Viola Davis for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom back in 2020 or 2021, but...
Yeah.
But this moment was special in its own right. And I am so glad that Michelle is the one who did it. She's someone who's in literally everything. And now you're like, oh yeah, she was in this movie and this movie and this movie and this movie. And she's going to be Madame Morrible in Wicked.
Which is amazing. And also coming out a month sooner than we thought.
Yes.
Coming out in Thanksgiving 2024.
Mm-hmm. It's always funny when movie dates move, because it's never really because the movie is getting done ahead of time. It's because another movie is going to be coming out.
Oh, interesting. So what else in Universal slate or whatever are they pushing for the Christmas release? Could it be, I don't know. What could be bigger than Wicked?
That's true. Because usually that's like the Christmas Day musical.
Maybe they want to ride that Thanksgiving through Christmas wave.
Maybe really, because last year there was no Thanksgiving movie, and it sort of ended up being Glass Onion in its limited release. It did huge numbers and then went away. So I don't know. It could be a superhero movie that they're saving. Or
speaking of Glass Onion, if Jamie Lee can get nominated for Everything Everywhere, Kate Hudson could have been nominated for Glass Onion.
Totally.
I love the idea of comedic
performances.
Yes, yes. Kate was so perfectly cast in Glass Onion, and she was so funny. She's Mother.
You love saying that.
So what else do you want to discuss before we get to drama? Or is it time for drama?
I think it's time for drama, but I do want to give a shout out to Jessica Chastain. We've mentioned her a lot today for masking up during the Oscars.
She was the only one.
She was. And even in that bit that they, you know, when Jimmy Kimmel was asking audience questions, I didn't even notice her there because she was incognito in her mask.
Yes. Just like Beanie Feldstein at the recent invited dress rehearsal of Shocked.
Oh my God.
And she nodded at me knowingly on the corner when I looked her in the eye, and she knew and I knew that we were both funny, funny girls.
That's right now. Okay, so this is such a fun episode. We've flown through it, but we do have to end with a little drama, which is a segment that y'all are still getting used to. It's submission that can be, you know, a tea. It can be a question for us. It can be a question about the world, the industry, trends, gossip, anything LGBTQIA+. Mama.
Period.
And we had a single submission this week.
No, one?
What, just one. And it said, Scandaball.
Now. It's good this was the only one submission we got this week, because it's the only one thing that's been rattling around in my brain for weeks.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier you're listening to Kristen Doty's podcast. Like I said, Doty instead of Doty.
Doty. Kristen Doty. We need to put more respect on her name. Because although it didn't end as well as it could have, she was such a legendary reality character for years. Love her, hate her. I mean, she gave us moments. I mean, not only the Jax cheating storyline, but the James cheating storyline.
Oh, because she brought James onto the show.
Yeah, they were like dating, going to that new season.
I think the same season. My mind is actually blown right now.
It's crazy.
The connection of it's a love square.
But then I'm pretty sure he cheated on her.
Kristen and Tom were together.
Mm-hmm.
Tom and Ariana kind of started.
They always had a bond.
But Kristen broke up with Tom after they broke up after she cheated on him with Jax in the house while they were watching Drive.
Legendary legend.
They're broken up. Tom gets together with Ariana. Kristen gets together with James, DJ James Kennedy.
Period.
They break up after a troubled relationship.
After she looked at the Uber receipts, famously.
Right.
Or the Lyft receipts. It was, she found out he was cheating because she went into his app and saw where he was going back and forth from or whatever. Iconic. She gave us so much. I mean, and then it ended so sour because, well, by the end of it, she had fallen out with all the girls. And of course, the firing was the firing. But even before that, like, I feel like it was just Kristen in her WeHo apartment, just like simply sitting on a couch, uninvited to these events. It ended so badly.
Yeah, she hadn't worked at Star. Was she fired from Star? Did she quit?
I'm pretty sure she was fired by Lisa because she was so bad to Lisa.
And she was rude to the other owner.
I'm listening to her podcast. And for those of you that don't know what Scandoval is, basically, Ariana and Tom have been cast members and dating on Vanderpump Rules for like 6 or 7 years. They've been together all this time. They're still on the show. The show is currently airing. And it came out like almost 2 weeks ago, I think, that for the past 7 months, Tom has been cheating on Ariana with someone else from the friend group named Raquel, although her real name is Rachel, who was dating DJ James Kennedy, aka Kristen's ex, aka Lala's former fling. And Raquel was actually engaged to James, but they broke up before the last reunion. But anyway, so this season that takes place over the summer of 2022, Raquel was having a fling with Tom Schwartz, who is Tom Sandoval's best friend. But in the last 6-7 months, Raquel and Tom Sandoval have been having a literal affair, hooking up in the house while Ariana's home, things like that, like truly carrying out in secret. There's conspiracies about these lightning bolt necklaces they both wear to kind of like honor each other. The rumors are a buzz of like what's happening, how, what was their plan, all this stuff. But on Dodie's podcast that I'm listening to right now, and I'm 10 minutes into, she says that Ariana was at Tom Sandoval's concert for his band and some intuition within her. Okay, he had like lost his phone and someone gave it to her, and something in her gut was like, you should look at his phone. She never does that, like, so trusting. This is according to Dodie.
She's a cool girl, you know?
She's a cool girl. She opened up Sandoval's phone, and in his photos was a screen-recorded FaceTime masturbation session between Raquel, aka Rachel, and Sandoval. And she knew he was a dirty fucking cheater.
It's so sick.
It's so sick. There's even more details, but it's crazy. Can you believe this is real? It's real.
It's real. And what's even crazier is that it's dominated the public conversation, because I think... I didn't realize how much this, I think, as it's been entered in pop culture legend, this Bravo show, the slap, this, you know, so much about these couples and these people, that it's now like we all are in on it in a way that someone would be in on. I don't know. Like if something, I don't even know if like it would matter this much with like a Bachelor Nation person or something, because these people have been on our TV for so many years.
100%. That is so true. Because I guess when a Bachelor scandal happens, it's usually like, if it's not within the season, no one cares.
Right, and it's by the reunion usually. And
also, I feel like Bachelor scandals are kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
For a very specific audience, though, maybe they are still a huge deal. But yeah, the Scandoval stuff's crazy. To your point, which we also discussed on a recent episode that's coming out soon, it's hard for me to imagine all of them coming back to the show. I know that they will, though. And I've thought about this ever since we had that conversation. I know they all will, because they need the money, they need the fame, and they want to tell their redemption stories and explain themselves.
It's why Erica Jane is still on Beverly Hills, you know? She needs the income. She's going to show up and do her job. So yeah, I think so too. I will say I learned from some outlet that I guess Tom Sandoval was pissed about the way that the first time they picked up cameras and it was him and Raquel filming. He didn't like the way things came across already for himself. And so he's already kind of trying to control the narrative and ask them to refilm it. And the Bravo people said no.
Wow. I've actually heard that on Vanderpump Rules, they do a lot of reshoots. Through the years, I've heard of a lot of people catching continuity errors and like scenes that are filmed at the end of a season and put in later or into earlier in it.
Really? That's so weird.
Yes. And it's not that they're refilming a scene to fake something. It's like they needed a scene to it because something happened off camera that they need to set up for to make it make sense to the viewers, which I think is really interesting. I feel like maybe because they're more honest, they're all saying it, but I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm okay with it because it tells the narrative. And as long as it's real, it's real.
Wow. Well, it'll remain to be seen. I'm so eager to see. So these episodes are going to be tacked onto this season?
Yes. Yeah. So we'll see them in a couple months. I mean,
probably by like May, maybe June.
I wonder if like in a mid-season trailer, we're even going to see like
early footage.
Oh my God. The second I get my grimy little paws on some Dodie filming footage, I can't.
I love that she has been called in allegedly some other legacy cast members have been contacted. Jax Taylor said he was going to be doing Watch What Happens Live. Or...
Oh, interesting.
But that it was unclear if he was going to be doing like a pop-in filmed bit, you know, like on a camera feed.
Wow. Because, yeah, they haven't been back. Jax, Brittany, Kristen, and Stassi, and in relation to that, Bo, Stassi's man, have not been back in years ever since the firing. So
it's so fun.
It's so good. It's so good. I'm so glad we decided to binge season 9 in like January.
Your mind. How did you know? Anyways, all right. Well, I think this has been a lot of twin talk today for everybody involved, but we've teased it a little bit. We have some really awesome episodes coming up.
To celebrate Women's History Month, we've got some badass ladies joining us on the pod. So tell all your friends, tell all your coworkers. We want you to lead with the pod. You know, we may not lead with it. Hey, I'm a podcast host. Like, you should totally check this out. We need y'all to be our ambassadors of drama. And I do have a dose of drama today. We are clear from the start that our podcast is not a, we're going to spill this tea like the fags we are. No, this podcast is called Drama, and it covers theater, pop culture, love and life, and the drama of all of it. What is more dramatic than all of those things? Nothing. I mean, look at all these things we were covering. We covered theater. We covered pop culture. We covered love. And hey, you know what? We even covered life. So this is Drama. This is our show. If you're looking for a podcast where we're going to tear people down, spill secrets, etc., this is not the one. Never has been, never will be, because we love the arts. We love the people who make it. And that's why we do drama. So
period. Ah.
On that note,
I share your dose of drama, and I will see you next time.
Drama.